We want to look in tonight in Matthew chapter 25, and we're continuing end time exhortations and parables that Jesus is trying to help us to understand what's coming. And of course, we saw the scriptures already from Matthew 24 about the signs of the times and the coming of Jesus Christ. And I just heard yesterday that the president of Russia, is he called a president or a premier or a president of Russia? Putin actually told the Syrians that he would put troops on the Golan Heights if they wanted. On the Golan Heights are the hills that overlook Israel. So that is getting right down to the wire, ladies and gentlemen, to have Russian troops offered to go on the Golan Heights right there. We actually ate lunch on the Golan Heights. They're part of Israel, the ancient area of Bashan, where all the good cattle comes from. It's a beautiful country up there. And just imagine now Russian troops up there. I mean, it blows my mind, at least the offer of Russian troops to be up there. So that is amazing, an amazing thing. And of course, bringing Bible prophecy right out of the book to our present time. So Jesus is talking about end times here, and he's giving us several parables. And last time we were together on a Wednesday night, Jeremiah was last week, but the week before that, we talked about the parable of the 10 virgins and being ready, having the Holy Spirit filling our lives and ourselves to be ready for Jesus to come, is what the parable of the 10 virgins is about. And then here, starting in verse 14, now Jesus gives another parable. And of course, it's very easy to understand right away that he's talking about himself going away and coming back for us. And so let's read now. It says in verse 14 of Matthew 25, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man," and that would be Jesus, "traveling into a far country." He went away to heaven, "who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey." So this is talking about Jesus giving gifts unto men and going away to heaven. And he is distributing these things. Now, a talent. What is a talent? A talent is a weight. It's not like a coin of money or a particular amount of money. It's actually a weight. And so a talent of gold would be more valuable than a talent of silver, because gold is more valuable. So if you have a talent or that weight of gold, it's going to be more valuable than the same weight in silver, because silver isn't as valuable as gold. So that's the idea. That's what a talent really is. But actually, as we look at the scriptures a little further down in verse 18, and I'll just read you that verse, "He that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money." The word for money here is literally silver. So what we're apparently talking about here are talents of silver, not of gold. And as the scholars look at this and they measure it out, I think the NIV translation, yes, has a footnote that says this is about $1,000. One talent would be of silver would be about $1,000. And in another, actually the footnote says a little more than $1,000. And then the Living Bible actually just gets bold and puts it out there and says the one he gave 5 talents to, he gave $5,000. The one he gave 2 talents to is $2,000. And the one that got 1 talent was $1,000. Now the idea here is that these folks would invest these monies and gain interest on these monies for the man that went away to a far country, that gave his servants these monies, and they would make investments with them. But as we look at the parable and we understand the things here, the context and the things that follow, actually this word talent can be used for what it means to us today, our talents, the gifts that God has given us in our personalities And in the Spirit, His Spirit, as He touches us with different gifts in the body of Christ. These are our talents. This person is talented in that, and this person is talented in this, as we look at it. So I thought, wow, Lord, You're amazing. It's amazing that He can actually take a parable from years ago, which means one thing, and then bring it right here to modern day in our language and cause it to apply to us. I love that. God's Word is so perfect, and He is just able to do things that are just amazing to me. So anyway, now, let's talk about this a little further. Now, it says here, and I want to read it to you again, verse 15. And to one He gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his ability. According to his ability. And straightway He took His journey. And so, wow, we stop for a minute here and we think, according to each man's ability. That the man with the 5 talents probably could handle a little more money because he had the abilities that God gave him to be able to deal with some more. And He gave 2 and He gave 1 to these men according to their ability. Now, this is something that's very biblical, of course. Here it is. Jesus is talking about it. But I want to add some scripture to this to help us understand a little better about this. And so I'd like to turn with you to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. 1 Peter, now keep your hand in Matthew 25 and go to 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 11. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. And it says this, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives. And that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so you see here it is confirmed again here in, through Peter the Apostle in this little letter as he writes to the body of Christ. And he is saying that every man should minister according to the ability that God gives. And then God is glorified. If I'm trying to do something outside of my ability, I'm not going to glorify God because God hasn't blessed me with that ability. And if I'm trying to do too little or kind of ignoring God's promptings to do what He wants me to do in my ability, then you see I'm going to be holding back. And that only tends to poverty, as the Bible tells us. And so being very mindful and prayerful about what God has called us to do, where our abilities are, that God has so freely given to us. And that as we speak, we're to speak as of the oracles of God. In other words, we want to answer how God would answer. I remember when our boys were born, my oldest son John just born, and I was thinking, Lord, I just want to give him answers when he starts asking me questions that You would give. I remember I wanted that so bad. I couldn't wait till he could talk and ask me questions so I could tell him what God would say about that. I think that's a noble desire, and sometimes we don't. But sometimes we do, as we're filled with the Spirit. God helps us to answer questions that are brought to us, speaking as of the oracles of God, and ministering with the ability that God gives. Now, where does this ability come from, and what is it couched in? Romans tells us this. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 and verse 6. And let's take a look at that. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Now the Apostle Paul is speaking about gifts of the Spirit here. And he says, for I say, through the grace given unto me. So he recognizes and realizes that his gift of evangelism is the grace of God. I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Whoa, we get a little deeper now. These abilities that we have, we are measured faith for these things. That I will have the faith, that Jesus Christ will give me the faith to step out in that ability that God gives me and is calling me to. It'll be something that I can just trust him with and go with. Let's reaffirm that a little more in verse 6. And it actually lists some gifts here. And then it says in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. According to the proportion of faith. And so God gives us the faith as a gift, and then gives us abilities and begins to speak to us about them. Now, what I really want to bring to you in this is just to let you know that as we step out in the Lord, it is a very wonderful progression of learning in him and becoming comfortable with who you are in Jesus Christ. You just receive in your heart a witness to how far you should go and who you should be, and when someone else is in the body of Christ doing something that you maybe admired, but that's just not who you are. But you're so thankful for them because God's brought them along and fitting you together with them. That none of us can be everything in the body of Christ. And so we're just, through the faith that God gives, we step out with the ability that God gives and just really fit right into the body of Christ in a beautiful way. And it is awesome to see. And through the years now, being a pastor, man, it's been so fun for me to just see God raise up people in the church to fill needs that I just feel I can't really do. I mean, I don't fit there. I'm somebody else. But there's somebody else. And we have a whole bunch of somebody else's in the church. It's really neat that all fit together to make the body of Christ. With the faith that God gives and the ability that God gives, stepping out in that. We need to receive a piece about this, even to the extreme of knowing this. And I love this, what I'm just going to tell you right now. I heard this from Pastor Chuck again just a few days ago, that we might not be able to do the best, but we're certainly able to do our best. Isn't that good? I love that. And that can take you really away from condemnation. But man, I could have done better there. I just could have done better. And oh man, you go on and on beating yourself. You know, let's beat myself over not doing the very best that I think could have been done. No, but you did your best. And I love that. You know, there's an old song by Keith Green, and the words in it are, do your best. Just do your best. Pray that it's blessed, and let God do the rest. And that's the way it works. And then he gets all the glory, because you're simply working and moving in your ability that God gave you and the faith that God gave you in that ability. And that's the best you can do. And God is pleased. And God is blessed with that. He knows you're not Jesus. Duh. You know, I mean, how many are Jesus here? Please stand up. Nobody. You know, Jesus is the one that we worship and adore because he's perfect. But you and I, we just do our best. And we pray that's blessed. And we let God do the rest. And there's a real peace there. There's a real peace and beauty in knowing that God is the one that gives the ability for anything. And he actually gives us then the faith to operate in that ability. You don't want to go overboard with that and thinking of yourself more than you ought. I remember years ago, we had a Bible study in my house. And I got the gift of prophecy to be able to, you know, speak to people, words from God, you know, and stuff. And I was really blessed with that gift. But I went overboard with it, above the ability which God gave and the faith that God gave. There were a bunch of sailors coming to our Bible study from Long Beach Seaport, you know, when the Navy used to be here in Long Beach. And they were coming to our Bible study. And I had a word for one of the sailors. And I put my hand on his head and I said the word to him and stuff. But I felt sorry for the rest of the sailors. And I started saying words over them. Outside the faith that God had given me and outside the ability. It was a flow with this one brother, but the rest of them are all sitting there, and out of sentimentality, instead of being blessed by God with the power to do that, I began to prophesy over the rest of them. And man, was that ever embarrassing, because I went to the next guy, I put my hand on his head, and I called him the wrong name. Right away, I was on the wrong foot with that. Is this God? He doesn't know my name? And so, you know, I sat down pretty quick after that, and I just thought, Lord, I am sorry. I am sorry. Because I was thinking of myself more highly than I ought to think. I was going forward without faith, but just in some kind of religious fervor or whatever, or sentimentality, actually. So I have to be careful. And we just have to give it up to the Lord again and say, God, bless me with the faith, with the ability of what you want me to do. I want to go that far and no more. And you know, through the years, I think we learn. We just learn from trial and error, from making mistakes like I did that night, to just back off, wait on the Lord, give God some room to work. And it is a wonderful thing what God can do. Let's go on back to Matthew 25. And so we see that Jesus gave these gifts. He gave these talents to men with different abilities, to everyone with several or different abilities, and straightway he took his journey. Then he that received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. So the man that was given the $5,000, he invested that money and he made $5,000 more. And people do that on the stock market and so forth. As you know, nowadays, that's the way it works. You buy stock in Coca-Cola. Yeah, there's a neat story to that, I got to tell you. It's kind of a side note, but Dr. Dobson's dad was a preacher. And he would go out on the road and preach at different churches. And some churches couldn't afford to give him any money, and he wouldn't bother with that. He would just preach anyway. And sometimes he would end up giving to the poor preachers when the rich preachers would give him some money. He'd end up giving that money to the poor preachers. So he didn't make a lot of money. And so the Dobson family was pretty poor as he was growing up. And his father one day looked at his mother and started crying. And the mom said, you know, why are you crying? And he said, because God just told me he's going to take care of you. And then 2 days later, he died of a heart attack. And the family was left without, you know, the breadwinner. And there's mom. And, you know, mom later on got a very expensive disease. And I can't remember exactly what it was, but she had to go and get her kidneys flushed out and all the time. So expensive to do that. And you know, Dr. Dobson said she never had to borrow any money from any of the kids for those expensive medical deals, even though they were so expensive, because Dad had bought some stock in a little company called Coca-Cola. And she just got stinking rolling rich. Isn't that beautiful? I love it. So, you know, since then I've been looking for stocks. No. But, you know, I just thought that's such a great story, how God took care when he was crying over his wife, and the Lord told him that he was going to take care of her, and he sure did through the Coca-Cola company. That's how he did it. But anyway, so this guy with the five talents, he invested his money wisely. He made five more talents, or $5,000 more. Now let's go on. And it says, likewise, he that had received the two, he also gained another two. So the guy that had five made five more. The guy that had two made two more. Now, both of these guys are doing a good job, but the fruit is different. This is an important point right here for you and I. The fruit is different. Apparently, the guy that made two talents, his fruit is less than the guy that made the five. Does that make a difference between those two? No. I'd like to take you to another scripture that's really powerful in actually showing this. There's many times different fruit. But I don't think that God's looking at the fruit so much as he's looking at the faithfulness. Faithfulness in whatever we're given. We just use whatever we're given. And God is the one that brings forth the fruit. One waters, one plants, another one waters. But it's God who brings the increase. And so that's God's job. The fruitfulness is God's job. As we abide in the vine, then we bear fruit. And the fruit and the power of the fruit comes from the vine, comes from the Lord Jesus, comes from God the Father ultimately through the Lord Jesus. And we bear fruit. And so that's his job. But the faithfulness, to stay putting our hand to the plow and not looking back, is our job. And the guy that had the two put his hand to the plow and did the best he could, just like the guy with the five. And the fruit is different. But let's take a look at this scripture. Let's go to Mark. Now remember, keep your hand in Matthew, and let's turn over to Mark 4, which is just the next book. You can find this. It's not hard. Mark chapter 4, verse 20. Mark chapter 4 and verse 20. Now, this is the parable of the sower, and we're all familiar with the parable of the sower. There's four different kinds of ground that the seed is sown on, and some of it had thorns and thistles in it and didn't work, and some of it it was shallow ground, and that didn't work, and the other ground the shallow ground, the thorns and so forth, rocky ground. But the good ground, let's look at the good ground. Verse 20, okay, Mark 4:20. And these are they which are sown on good ground. Now this is the ground of the Lord. This is when fruit comes. And it says, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Different fruit, same ground. Different fruit, same ground. And so may I give to you here that all of these people that are on good ground are faithful and true believers doing the best they can. And some are bringing forth more fruit than others. But the fruit is God's job. And so it isn't really in the mix of being faithful. The mix of being faithful is just being faithful. God doesn't expect you to be what you're not. You can't put in what God's left out. I love that line. It's from Chariots of Fire. You can't put in what God's left out. But you just do what God has given you to do. Do it best you can. Be who you are in Jesus Christ. And you know what? God's going to bless it. And it's going to be good ground as you stay in his word and trust him and go forward with your ability, with the faith that God measures to you to be who you are in him. And I just love this idea immensely. It is so good. I went to a pastor's conference at, of all places, the Crystal Cathedral, because Billy Graham was going to be there. And Billy Graham was there. And he was talking about his crusade coming up in 1984 in the stadium over here in 1984. And he was preaching to us pastors, and he was telling us that he felt inadequate to do the job that God called him to do and that ought to be done. And I'm thinking, if Billy Graham feels inadequate, where's that put me? You know what I'm saying? Because this guy has preached to millions. And over in Korea, he actually had one meeting in Korea. Marvin used to have a picture of it on his front door of his office. In South Korea, there was 1 million people that showed up to hear Billy Graham preach. 1 million. And so you think, man, if he's feeling bad, where was that put me? But the way he put it, he says, you know what? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And so, and he encouraged all of us. He said, brothers, he said, just take one bite at a time and do the best you can. Kind of the same sermon I'm preaching tonight, and we're getting from these talents things. But he talked about his brother. I was so blessed to hear about Billy Graham's brother. He said, my brother, whom none of you know, you probably didn't even know I had a brother. He said, but my brother is a farmer, and his nearest neighbor is 2 miles away. And he just faithfully goes to his little tiny church in Podunk, America. And that's what he does. But I'm out on the mission field, and as most of you probably know, Billy Graham was the most known personality on the entire planet when he was in his heyday. But he's comparing himself to his brother. And he said, my brother is every bit as spiritual as I am. He loves the Lord. He's always loved the Lord. He's meant so much to me in my own life. And he says, but he doesn't have the fanfare that I do, Billy Graham, you know. But he just knows that his brother's going to walk into heaven with the same blessing from Jesus Christ that Billy Graham's going to get. Man, that testimony just sent me soaring. So, you know, this is the truth of it. God loves every one of us, and he loves us the same. And he gives us different abilities, different anointings. There's going to be different fruit, but that doesn't matter to the Lord. He's not going to count your fruit to let you into heaven. He's not going to count your fruit to bless you and hug you and receive you. He's not going to do that. Fruit is what he's about. That's what he does. What we do is we abide in him. We are faithful to him. We trust in him. We put our hand to the plow and not look back. In whatever our station in life is, and God is blessed and God is pleased. And I'm excited about that. Okay, well, let's go on back now to Matthew 25 and read a little further about these things with the talents. Now, and so it says, he that had received the 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents. Now, I don't think we read verse 18. Let's go back to verse 18. For he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid. Actually hid his in the earth, hid his Lord's money. So the one with the 1 talent just gave up completely, didn't try. We just read in verses 16 and 17 that the one with the 5 invested it and made 5 more, and the one with the 2 invested it and made 2 more. But the one that received 1 talent just went and dug a hole and stuck his money in there, didn't put it to the investors. In other words, a person that's got gifts and talents, although not as many as the other two, didn't bother using it for the Lord, just digged in the earth. It kind of reminds me, and I always think of the music ministry this way, because of someone that has a musical gift, and instead of using it for the Lord, they're playing songs out in the bars, worldly songs. And they're what are they doing? They're hiding their talent in the earth. They're actually digging in the earth and hiding their God-given talent in the earth. I'm always blessed with these superstars that always take time to sing a hymn and sing to the Lord. At the end of their show or whatever, and keeping their show clean, but at the end, singing to the Lord, giving God the glory, That's so precious, so beautiful, because then they're using their talent for the Lord at that time. But it says this, then after a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and reckons with them what they did with the talents that they were given. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said to him, and this is the sentence all of us want to hear one day. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of your Lord. That's what faithfulness brings. That's what being sold out to Jesus brings. That's what abiding in Christ brings. Is well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now let's go on and see what happens with the man with the 2 talents, because basically it's the same thing. He also that had received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered unto me the 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, word for word, what he said to the man with the 5. Word for word, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And so we see it again. It's an equal thing for the guy with the 2 as it was for the guy with the 5. Same blessed verse. Same blessed receiving. The same acceptance and wonderment. Entering in to the joy of the Lord, because they've been faithful over a few things. This has always blessed me, this word, few things. Because there are times, and maybe you can identify with this, I remember standing at a bus stop bench, and there was someone there standing with me, and I felt like the Lord said, I would like you to share the gospel with this person next to you. And I just, in so many words, said no. I was scared, whatever. I just was nervous. I didn't want to do it. And I let that opportunity get by. And I felt so stinking bad about that later. And the Lord gave me this verse. You have been faithful over a few things. So the things we are faithful in, and the times we do listen to the Lord, he sees that, he records that, he's blessed with that. And as he looks at our lives, his forgiveness washes over us for the things that we weren't able to be faithful in because of our disobedience or whatever. He just blows that away. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. God's grace is so wonderful and so sufficient for us as we walk through this life. And he looks at the whole picture of your life. He looks at your trying and your failing, and you're going forward, but 2 steps forward, 1 step back kind of existence, but all the time going towards him, pressing on towards the mark of the high call of Jesus Christ, taking these things into account and preparing for us a beautiful future. That's our Lord. I'm just so blessed with him and the things that he says. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of your Lord. Now, before we move on from there, I would like to take you to some scriptures in 1 Corinthians that kind of go along with this idea that we've been presenting, that God sees us basically equal. God's the great equalizer. He's an equal opportunity God. that's a good way to put it. But let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 12. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 23. And we're going to look at verses 23, 24, down onto verse 35. So 1 Corinthians 12, 23. This is talking about members of the body of Christ. He says, those members of the body which we think to be less honorable. Now, so there are some members of the body of Christ we might think in our hearts that they're less honorable. Upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts, or unpresentable parts, have more abundant comeliness, or beauty, or desirability, because the rest of the body of Christ is taking care of those guys. And of course, for different ones of us, we will think that some are undesirable, that are really desirable, but it's just the way we're looking at it. But the Lord starts talking about this equal thing that he wants to have in the body of Christ. And so I transfer that to reward time. I transfer that to being received into heaven time. And we don't want to compare ourselves with ourselves, the Bible says, but to actually see each other as God sees us. And so let's read that verse slowly again. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts, or unpresentable parts, have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Isn't that awesome? Those scriptures there. Those are awesome scriptures. Now, I would like to present to you a picture of this. God gave me this years ago. You're in the chemistry lab right now, and you're brought three beakers, three same size beakers. Now, beakers are not birds. They're little glass deals with red lines on them with measurements. And so you've got three equal beakers. Now, let's say when someone's created, God pours into the first beaker in his creation of a person this much comeliness, just up to like the third line on the beaker, this much comeliness or desirability or abilities altogether, or gifts or talents. That's all they get. Then in the next beaker, the Lord goes up to the sixth line on the beaker with more comeliness, more beauty, more desirability, more gifts and talents for this beaker. Then in the third beaker, he pours it almost up to the top, up to the ninth line on the beaker. You've got comeliness, beauty, desirability, gifts and talents for this one. Then what he does after that is he gets a big old picture over here of honor. And he comes and tops each beaker off to the top, to the top, to the top. And everything is equalized. Isn't that awesome? That's what these verses say that we just read, very simply. That we give more honor to the part that lacks because our comely parts have no need. And so this is God's heart. And this is what makes me believe and think that we that have given it our best shot in Jesus Christ, and allowed his grace to fill our lives and to be who we're supposed to be on the earth, to minister to whom we're supposed to minister, are all going to march into heaven shoulder to shoulder. A great army of God. No one greater than the other, but blessed and empowered by the Lord. And any of the stuff that we did wrong or wood, hay, and stubble is just going to be burnt away, sizzled off. And the person that's got a lot of wood, hay, and stubble and hasn't really committed to the Lord completely will suffer loss. But those that are just committed to whatever God has called and to the abilities that he's given will just be all the same. No matter how much fruit is to each one. And this is what I really see in the Bible as I look at it. Now, let's go ahead and go back to Matthew 25 and read about the guy with the one talent. Now, this is the guy that just refuses to commit to the Lord, refuses to abide in Christ. This is basically your non-believer. And so it says this in verse 24. Then he which received the one talent, this is Matthew 25:24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that you are a hard man. You're a hard man. Now this tells me right here the guy wasn't saved. Why does it tell me that? Because he doesn't know the Lord. God's not a hard man. He's not an austere man. He's a loving God. He's reaching out in all of his love. This guy says, you're a hard man. Reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not strawed. And I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the earth. Lo, there has that is yours. He was afraid. Afraid, really, presenting really pride. Pride makes afraid. I don't want to make a fool of myself for Christ. I don't want to step out and say something about the Lord and have somebody call me names. I was afraid. And so he hid his talent in the earth. And his Lord answered and said unto him, you wicked and slothful or lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. So he agrees with what the man said. That is true. It's true. God will get his work done whether I help him or not. Whether I help him or not. Whether I open my heart to the abilities he's given me and to the faith that he wants to measure me. If I don't do that, God will still get his work done. Because he's God. But because that's true, I can't lose. I can't lose. If I go with God and I agree to be one of his instruments and help him with his work, it's going to get done without me or with me. But if I'm with him, then at the end, I'm most blessed. Because I've helped God get the work done that he was going to get done anyway. And I just jumped on board. So this is what the Lord is reasoning with him about. He's saying, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put your money to the exchangers. You should have joined. Because I was going to get it done anyway. And you just join with the work. And then at my coming, I should have received my own with usury. Usury is interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which has the 10 talents. And man, have I ever seen this in the church through the years. There's some people that will do 6 or 7 things. And then there's a whole bunch that do nothing. And so the guy with doing all the stuff is going to get the rewards. But he could have given 1 or 2 of those jobs to the guy who did nothing, but the guy still didn't want to do anything. It's sad. It's sad to see. A few people in the church do all the work. That happens in every church I've ever seen. But take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which has the 10 talents. For unto every one that has shall be given, and he have an abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so as we see, this is really talking about a non-believer that is totally godless, totally doesn't want to do anything for the Lord, not to accept his talents for the Lord in any way, shape, or form, but he wants to hide him in the earth because he's afraid and he sees God as a hard master. And so this is the one that will be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, that said, and if you're not a non-believer, you're going to be okay, because God's going to help you, and God's going to help me. And we make our mistakes, but we move on, and God's going to bless us with ministry and with loving things to do, because God's Spirit's at work within us, and he has begun a good work in us. We'll perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for that. But we can be sharpened through this, even as Christians. There are times when we begin to fall back from the very call on our lives. And the Lord then will actually bring an encouragement scripture, a rebuke or an exhortation scripture. And I'd like to show you that in the Bible. Let's go on over to Colossians 4:17. So, Brother Charles, we're ending tonight at verse 30. Right here, but I'm just going to go to some more scriptures to kind of bolster that up. So we're going to Colossians 4:17. Colossians 4:17. Now there's a dear brother at the church at Colossae that Paul exhorts here. And he says to say this to him. Verse 17 of Colossians 4. Say to Archippus, take heed to your ministry, which you have received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. And so apparently Archippus was falling back a little, and the apostle Paul wanted him to be exhorted to go ahead and fulfill that ministry, that ability which God gave, that faith that God gave for him and what he was flowing in. So that can happen to us. And the Lord needs to kind of give us a little shaking. I remember with me, I was disillusioned at Princeton and quit Princeton. I was going to a ministry school there and came back home and got a job in the auto parts store. And I decided that I was going to then go on to Montgomery Ward, and I had a degree in marketing and so or economics, and so I was going to get on their team and make a lot of money and buy a new Volkswagen bus. That was my goal. And man, the Lord had to slap me upside the head. So what are you doing? You started off in ministry school. Yes, we agree. You went to the wrong one. Princeton was real liberal. But you got to get back now with Calvary Chapel and get cooking, dude. And it was a rebuke from the Lord. And so, just like with Archippus, take heed to your ministry, which you have received in the Lord, that you fulfill it, that you actually go forth with it and get it done. And then, just one more scripture then, scripture of encouragement here, Revelation 3:11. Revelation 3:11. This is to the write-on church of Philadelphia in Revelation chapter 3. This is to the write-on church, and we hope that we are write-on church here. And I think we are, because we've kept the word of his patience, and we have not denied his name. Praise God. And one of the things that the Lord Jesus says to this church is this. Verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no man take your crown. That no man take your crown. Hold fast what you have. And so, to me, what's being said here is what we're just taught in Matthew 25, where it said, take that which this man has that's a lazy servant and give it to the guy that has 10 talents. So he wasn't able to hold fast to that which he had by being lazy and just saying, Lord, I'm just not looking to serve you in one bit. And so then that was taken from him, and he lost his crown and given to him that had the 10. Given over to someone else that will do that work, do that job in the body of Christ. And so these are scriptures to kind of sharpen us in the whole counsel of God. You just get the big picture of how God looks at things. He is so desirous that we join the fray. Get on board. And, you know, I heard something recently, and I can't remember from what source it came, but if you don't know what to do in the body of Christ, just try anything. Just try anything and see how it feels. And God will direct you. And God will show you what works and what doesn't work. And it's humbling if something doesn't work, but so what? Just go on to the next thing. Say, hey, Lord, just show me. And trust him with that. You know what? He will bless you and just bless your heart for really wanting to be part of his team, part of his servants, that when he comes back, that you've invested something of yourself in the kingdom of God, and you've brought forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold on that good ground. And so, exhortation from the Lord about getting ready for the end times, getting ready for the return of Jesus Christ. And it is exciting that he's coming back, and we certainly want him to say, don't we, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Certainly would be great to hear that. And, you know, I don't think any of us know for sure what he's going to say to us. But, you know, we sure hope it's that, isn't it? You know, I can only imagine, right? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Will I just be still? We don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. But it's going to be a glorious time when he comes back to talk to us and be close to us. Just to love him the rest of eternity will be the greatest blessing of all. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. So, Father, thank you so much for your word, and thank you for your parables, your stories that let us know so much about ourselves, Lord. And thank you, Father, that you are interested in end times. You're not ignoring end times at all. You really want to tell us about these things. And, Father, giving us these parables, these stories, bringing spiritual truth to us about these things, Lord. And, Father, I just want to pray for myself, my brothers and sisters. Help us to keep going until you come, Lord, to not to grow weary in well-doing, but or to just make that effort to seek your face and your heart on things and to walk in you, to talk in you, Lord, to love each other, Father, from the heart. And, Lord, thank you so much for the even beakers, Lord. That is such a blessing to know about and to just to be encouraged with, Lord, that You're no respecter of persons, and Lord, you just make us who we are, and you enjoy who we are, Lord. And Father, we're so blessed and thankful. So, Lord, we give our lives back over to you now, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Let's stand together. May the Lord bless you, continue to lead you, help you along your way that he's designed for you before the foundation of the world. God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen.